Good morning, Patriots. Right off the top, Bards Fest, 26th of, to the 29th of August in St. Charles, Missouri. Two locations, one mission, bring God back to the center of this nation. This is going to be the biggest revival we've ever seen, and we're praying it will be the biggest revival in human history. This is truly going to be an epic event. You need to get your tickets. You can go to bardsfest.com. Get your tickets, indoor event, outdoor event. There's a whole schedule up on the website. You can see what that's like. And you can get an event idea of what's going on each and every day. And those schedules will continue to evolve as we add more speakers. But you're seeing what it looks like right now, and it's getting only better from here forward. So get on over there and get your tickets for Bards Fest. Bardsfest.com. It's going to be truly an amazing event and something you don't want to miss. On the 27th of August, Mike Lindell speaks at Bards Fest, both indoor and outdoor. We're going to celebrate him as his success and all that he's done for this nation with Slipper Revolution Day. So you're going to need a pair of my slippers. So get on over to mypillow.com. Use the promo code Bards, B-A-R-D-S. B-A-R-D-S is your promo code. Use that promo code, get yourself some slippers, and then while you're there, you probably want to pick up a whole bunch of other cool stuff, like the sale they've got going right now for radio listeners, and you can find that when you scroll down to the radio listeners box, and you'll see radio listeners box there with a special of six towels for $39.99, Giza sheets, two for one low price, which, by the way, both of those are awesome products. I use them every day. Thank goodness. You can imagine not taking a shower every day. Oh, my goodness. I digress. Anyway, make sure that you get over there and get yourself the some great products from MyPillow. They've got MyPillows, of course. And you can use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. They also have an 800 number, 800-975-2939. If you need counseling, call that number. They'll give you exactly what you need. They'll tell you the products necessary to get you to sleep and quit whining. Don't call us because you're whining about problems. Get some product from MyPillow. Put yourself to sleep and be happy. There you go. So, Bards Fest tickets at bardsfest.com or bardsfm.com. Either one works. And MyPillow, MyPillow, which is with the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for all the great savings. Ephesians 1, 16 to 23. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know that what is the hope of what he has called you, to which he has called you, what are the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in the ages but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which his body, the fullness of him who fulfills all in all. There is a time now which we must reclaim that position of Christ at head. Sadly, the world as we know it has drifted so far away from God that there is a blinding deafness to hearing him. As I read last night, Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor of a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And so we are here, so it appears. A time when hearing the words of the Lord fall truly on deafened ears. And yet there's an amazing rising of a remnant. A time now when the wheat and the chaff are being separated from those that are willing and able to hear and those that have decided no longer to listen. And with that comes a rising panic on that side. The one thing that it holds true with those in power is that they are consciously aware that they are stealing power, that they are stealing people's lives. And as long as they can keep that illusion going, the stronger they feel, though deep inside they know one thing. No matter what they do, they will always end up bowing to God. And right now, that power elite is very consciously aware that they are becoming an increasingly small minority. We aren't living in a world of a majority of people that are trying to see this nation collapse. We're seeing a minority of people that are wanting to see this nation collapse, that happen to own the pulpits and happen to own the media mouthpieces, the megahorns or megaphones of free of communication, that control the agencies of power and are using the leverage and perception of power from the seats of the CEOs to the chairmen on the boards and the boards of directors to the head of agencies and insurgents that live within to make a perception as though they have a majority when in fact they are a minority. A minority that will pay a severe cost for betraying the people and above all betraying God's children in a land blessed by God. Kid yourself not. We will take this nation back. It is going to be taken back. And we're not going to do it with violence. And you're not going to be able to, sorry, for those of you that are imagining the glories of picking up your ammo out of your bin and charging forward into the streets and blazing away and laying savage waste to your neighbors. It ain't gonna happen. Those are foolish and stupid notions. Because God never asked us to lay waste to his children and to your neighbors. In fact, it's quite the opposite. God has asked us to love our neighbor. God has asked us to take care of those in need, and God has asked us to stand boldly with Christ and walk in this world and protect the innocent. Oh, you have seminal lines, and you have red lines, and we've talked about that. And those are the lines when they try to steal from you that which God has given you, the ultimate responsibility to protect. You need to make sure and let your school boards know and your teachers know that if they dare do such a thing as force an injection on your child, or they will lock, or if they choose to lock a school down, which they apparently have the right to do now, in a concept of a quarantine because of some stupid concept of a Delta, Epsilon, Lambda, Google, whatever the heck they're calling it, variant. If they're going to do that and separate you from your child, tear the doors down, rip the building apart, shred it to the ground, and get your children free. Do not play on those terms. If they try to stormtroop your doors, that's a violation of your sovereign territory, and you will stand with all necessary force to protect that domain. But when we're in this world and we are taking this world back, we cannot fall to that trap of what they want. They want civil war more than anything. They don't want to cross that line because then they would be blamed for the violence which they have them cost. No, what they're trying to do is to fan those flames. They want people to be agitated. They want people to be so angry that they turn sword to neighbor, sword of steel slashes neighbor. That's not what we're going to do. As they build strongholds, we have to build stronger voices of him. Singing prayer in the public square. Have we done that yet? No. Where are the prayer warriors and the prayer singers to come to the public space and to sing him and to call his glory into that space? Where are they? Patriots, we have not understood, in my opinion, as a group and as a mass, the power of love and agape, of calling upon Lord, the Lord in the celebration of him. We think very much in closed terms, in those terms of ideas, and it's a fear. Every one of us has a seed of fear within us in one way or another. Some of those are big trees. Some of those are like little grains. But when I say a fear, it's this idea that what if they come and get me at my home? What if they try to get me out of my car at a checkpoint to inject me? That's the devil working. That's the devil trying to find that small little crack of concern within you and seeding in a whole bushload of seeds of fear. Stop letting it get to you. Just put the seminal lines out there. I was asked yesterday, how do you do it? And I said, this is how I do it every single day. Because they asked me, how do you endure this every day? And I say, it's simple. I take the worst possible thing I can imagine. I multiply it by 100. And then I try to get as bad as that can possibly be. And I say to myself, that's what's going to happen to me. The most horrific thing I can possibly imagine. I say, that's what's going to happen to me. And then I laugh and I say, God, you have this because you have me here for a reason. Just make sure when I get there that I can still laugh in the face of the enemy and spit in their face no matter what they do to me. And God says, okay, I got this. And I go, I know you do, because we're in this together. So we stand in a time now. We must stand boldly in his name, in his glory, in the hymn and the prayer that he's given us. We need to split those heavens open. Why do I think God is calling Bard's Fest? Because this is not a rally, Patriots. This is a revival. Because I think God wants his children in one place and all attention focused on one place around the world to stand together finally and to stand boldly in this faith, in his name, to raise hands, to sing him, to pray, to be spontaneous, to fill him and to bring him into that space. Remember what I said, speakers are there for you. You are not there for them. And that's what makes this event different. We are blessed to have the many speakers we are coming to Bard's Fest, but this is an event for God. And so they are there for you, and they are there for you to react to. And if you stand and you sing prayer, then let it be. So many of these rallies, we go and we see ourselves as there for the speaker. We must be there to listen to the speaker. No. This is an event of God. And God is bringing these speakers there and bringing people there for you, for us, to bring that power of the Holy Spirit within us and to rise. And between now and then, it is a constant daily statement of us praying and walking in prayer and raising our hands and celebrating God and trusting in him and letting him know, we are here, Lord. We are here. And we are so deeply humbled to be here. We are here in this time, in this place, because he so chose to have us here. A time and a place which was intended for us to be here because he trusts in us. We are that remnant. And those words are not said lightly. They're not said casually. They're not said to try to motivate or fan the flames of excitement because people someday today, because you're feeling down, I shall raise up your spirit and give you the shock of the Holy Spirit to raise you up and make you feel good. That's not happening here. That fire and brimstone from the southern pastor, Feel the shock of it across the room, Patriot. Stand up. I shall tell you. I shall lead you to the holy light. That's not happening here. You got to stand up. You got to be powerful within yourself. You've got to know that God is with you. You got to feel that fire within your soul. And you have to have the confidence in knowing that God is with you in everywhere you go. You don't need patent leather shoes and greased hair. You don't need a suit that looks like it came off the rack at JCPenney's. What you need is the power of God within you. And all that takes is a little bit of trust. God is right there. That fire is burning within each one of us. And all we have to do is reach and say, Lord, I'm here. Send me. We are going to see amazing things happen in Bard's Fest. We are going to see amazing things move at Bard's Fest. And we're seeing amazing things move now. So consider that now, between now and August 26th, it's like the armies are beginning to stand. The soldiers are awakening. Imagine in your mind's eye that you've got people that are suddenly, they hear the call. The horns have been blown. You feel that stir within your soul. You look around, you realize it's time to put on the kit. You grab your gear, you buckle up. One hand on the hilt of the sword and one hand on the Bible, and you walk forward. You've been called to this war, this fight, because this is the assembly of God's children in the fight. And it's not a day of flying, but a day of walking. Imagine that all of this voice and this call goes out, and you're imagining this in another time when suddenly people start to awaken. They raise their head, they look up, they say, Lord, I hear it. He says, come. And people begin to walk, and they begin to assemble. And on that day, on the 26th, the crowds close in. And they come in mass as we stand there in together and we look up to the sky, we raise our hands and we pray, we sing. You realize all this other stuff that we're doing there, which is great to hear the voices and to hear the many, but there's only one primary reason that we are all coming to Bard's Fest, to stand. And we could do just this alone. We could stand with thousands of patriots right there for 4 days singing hymn and praying. Could you imagine? And I'll tell you what, if nothing else works, if that's what works, and we all come together and we stand there and just sing and pray him, and people raise up spontaneously and raise the book above them and they begin to speak from the scripture, if that alone is all that happened, this world would change. This is going to take us committing to something. And that's what the most important part for me that God has put before us in Bard's Fest is, are you willing to commit? Will you be there no matter what? Follow your heart. Listen to what God's showing. Will you be there? And that's the biggest part of this fight, is committing to him. Giving our heart to him and committing our life to that walk, that perfect walk that we strive to achieve, and doing it every day, getting up every day, saying to ourselves, Lord, I'm here before you, and recommitting each and every day to the strength that he gives us and that beautiful walk that we make. This enemy is so devious. This enemy is so ruthless. This enemy is so wicked that for many it's hard to comprehend that such evil can exist, and yet such evil has existed since the beginning. We are looking into the eyes of Lucifer, and people for the first time are seeing the true nature of what evil truly is. No more naive views of nature of evil. None of this nonsense of showing Satan in like some red-horned beast sitting next to somebody in a park as they work their dating app. If you haven't seen that ad, that's glorious. And I say that with in sarcasm, of course. No more getting Satan tennis shoes from Nike made with real human blood. That's a nice one. No more foolishness of the lies being told by Planned Parenthood as they slaughter 75 million babies and then tell us, it's my body, my choice. No, actually it wasn't. It never was. It was always about the sacrifice of children for the dark lord of Satan. And you thought you had a choice, but instead you were selling your soul. God can heal that. I can't. This isn't about the tomfoolery of the left. This isn't about the silliness of the things that they do to try to mainstream the idea that Lucifer is good. He's the greatest deceiver of all. And what people are finally witnessing as they stand before us this day and they look up and forward and see what's happening in their world and they ask themselves, why, Lord, is this happening to me? That's the foolish statement of the day. It's happening to us because we allowed it to happen, because we gave away the rights and responsibilities that we had as citizens of this blessed land, in a land that God gave us to steward. Stewardship is not a passive issue in life. It's an active and persistent act every single day of stewarding what you are given. Nothing that you have is yours. It is yours given by God to steward. It's when we get this all twisted and distorted and we say, oh, I'm doing this. I'm making this money. I'm buying this car. This is my house. No, all of these things are gifts from God, because God is the ultimate giver and provider of all things. And when we humble ourselves before that and we say, God has provided, thank you, Lord, I shall steward this well. When that perception begins to shift within our society, then we truly, truly understand our place and station in this world. For we are not in this world, but only to do a mission. And we are not of this world, for we are with him. So long as we've accepted Christ in our heart, for it's through Christ to the Father. We have to redo the narrative in the way that God intended. And this is one of our biggest fights, because this war has been waged in our mind to collapse us, to make us weak, to make us feel we have no possibility. And sadly, to a certain degree, they have succeeded. They're waging this war to isolate people from themselves, making people feel that they are alone. We are not alone. No one is ever alone. And when you feel you're alone and you say that and you say that you have Christ in your heart, I ask you, how did you get Christ in your heart if you feel you are alone? And people say things like, yeah, but I don't have any fellow patriots. You have people all over this world praying together. You have the strength of prayer to unify you. And yes, it is nice to have the touching hands of fellowship, but in that moment when we don't, we are never alone, for God is with us. Christ is within our heart. We have that strength to stand. And we are never alone. And if we can get more people to understand that, they will stop making stupid decisions. You know my position, and I say it regularly. I do not buy into this nonsense that once saved, forever saved. It is a decision you make every single day to recommit to the path of Christ. And that is a relationship that you have with Christ through Christ to the Father. These decisions that we make affect that relationship. And it is a daily walk. if you suddenly lose your will and stumble and decide, well, I think I'm going to just go ahead and get my Starbucks in an injection in one stop. There's a consequence to that, and it is real. It's goofball stuff of I've been saved and I'll always be saved. You might as well just say, hey, Christ, here I am. I'm done. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go kill a bunch of people, rob a couple banks, and maybe I'll get the injection on the way home. But look forward to seeing you in heaven. We know that isn't the way it works. Scripture doesn't support any of that. It is us making the daily commitment to walk with him, to have us in his heart, and to make that hard walk, the narrow path that few will find, but it is the path of life. And we climb. And we, in doing so, we bring the light back to the high points in the land so people can look up and find the house on the hill that's illuminated. That they can find that place to walk to, because they're walking in darkness and we must be the light. But we're not going to be the light unless we walk that path every day and commit ourselves to that fight. This tyranny that we are now watching is now becoming the same tyranny that was in our roots of this nation. The greatest gift, the greatest amazing moment in time is this is the second American Revolution. And this, like the first, but more so than the first, is being done in the name of God. Because those that truly lead this and will lead this, the true leaders of our time, will not be those that you thought led you. They will be the voices that carry God in their heart, that ultimately speak the truth through him. And they will be those that rise, and the many that follow will rise with them, because this country needs a remnant that's grounded deeply within Scripture, within their love of God. And no, we won't always agree on the interpretation of Scripture. And no, we may not always agree on the paths forward, because we're going to be impassioned like our founding fathers. We love this nation. We love God. And that will put us at times in the emotional space of being able to argue passionately from our heart on the things that we need. But unlike this ridiculous political nonsense we're facing now, where that becomes a division of hatred, instead it will be a compassionate debate. And in the end, we can all agree on one thing, our love of Jesus Christ and our humbleness before God. And even though we may not completely agree with one another, we can always agree on that. That's the bridge. And so we are fighting now for the glory of this nation, to restore the glory of this republic, and we will win. And there's one reason alone, above all, that we will win, is that this left, this Luciferian hell that's been surging across this land, cannot stand to God's light. And we carry that light. And we must carry that light, because that's the light that rallies the many that are still in darkness. That's the light that stands up and forces evil to bow, and even bow to us, because they know that we are God's children. And this is what they fear the most. They are on a complete panic rage right now. They don't show panic the same way we do. They have no empathy. These are psychopaths. They're of a different line of blood, as far as I'm concerned. Directly or indirectly, descendants of the line of Cain. Hating God's children. Despising everything God's children is and represents. Because what? Because we have light and life within us, and they do not. They revel and they find joy in your anxiety. They revel and find joy in your pain. And the more pain they can put upon you, the longer they can draw that out. It feeds them. They enjoy it. This is who is leading you. This is who is in your school boards. This is who your teachers have become. This is who your city councils are. This is where so many of your county commissions are. This is what has settled in on the hearts of the many police who enjoy doing their job under the rules that aren't even constitutional, because those constitutional obediences that they should have given are based on God's rule, But no, not these people. They find the pleasure in getting you pain. They find the pleasure in seeing people beg, of being under their boot. And that narcotic of power has swept many in this nation who will be humbled in the end, who see themselves now as superior to others because they took an injection. And by the way, the sad part about that is every one of them that has taken the injection has now departed from the human race. The only thing that can truly save them in the end is God's grace, because they are now being transitioned to transhumans. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. They've begun the first process of transition. And the next shot that comes, the next one that they take, that is the one that steals it all. Each step is a one step further. People laugh when they hear, some of these people laugh when you say this. They say, this isn't true. It's just mRNA. Uh-huh. It's the coding within your DNA. It's the DNA messenger that has now been put in every single one of your cells. And how did it get there? It got wrapped in a nanolipids gel that now allowed it to move from your arm, where 25% of it stayed, and 75% of it moved through your body, with over 4 trillion mRNA strands within every injection. Yeah, it's just a shot. Welcome to hell. So those that remain in this world, those that live in this world, will die in this world. And what that death looks like, I have no idea. But those that stand with Christ are not of this world. We are simply doing a mission here to bring God's children home. And that should give everyone strength to know that you're on mission, you're on point, and you're part of the world, the greatest army ever to be assembled. And God trusts in you. And that should give everybody joy and power to know that even in those times of anxiety, when you feel that you're wandering, you don't know what to do, maybe you can't hear God right now or don't think you can hear God right now, but God is there. And all it takes is trust. And just keep walking. So we'll close with a story. I did a hike. It was my favorite hike. I say that because it's through some of the most beautiful country in the world. It was the Umpqua River Valley, and if the Umpqua Trail is 100 miles from the beginning up to the headwaters of the Umpqua River, it crosses over to the Pacific Crest Trail and it drops back down to Diamond Lake. That was until Antifa terrorists decided to burn out a good chunk of that forest, some of the most beautiful old growth in the world, but we'll take that for another day. But this hike was 20 years ago when this forest was untouched by the destruction of human hands. And on the second to last day, when I was climbing to the headwaters, which is the end, the official end of the Umpqua Trail, it was a hard hike. And it was a long hike. It's up a long winding mountain. And it was an amazing place that I had looked at the map, and I'd been looking at the map and following it. Fortunately, there's no GPS up there. There's no cell phones. It's just you're using traditional means, reading a map. And I remember I arrived at a fork in the trail. And one trail went up right and one trail went up left. And I thought that I was looking at this and I said, okay, I see how one trail goes and it winds up and around another lake and it comes back down to the headwaters. And then there's another trail that appears to go the right way. And I decided to stay to the left and I walked. And that's where you keep walking and you have some faith, because ultimately you get to this corner and this turn and you say, I think I'm going to have to go back. I really don't think I took the right trail. So I made a commitment to myself and I said, okay, one more major bend. And I'm tired. And I'm feeling that weight and I'm beginning to doubt myself. and I'm beginning to rely on what I'm feeling, not where God's guiding me. And I knew that I'd read the map right, but I'm beginning to question myself. So I said to myself, okay, Lord, we're going to go up to the next bend. Because it's as you're winding up, you can't see over the horizon. So you really don't know how far you are. You think you know where you are, but you're not sure. And I made that turn, and I suddenly could see the glimmer of the lake, and I could feel the lightness lift, some of that heaviness lift from my heart, and I could start to pick up the stride. And as I finally made that turn and I walked up to the lake and the lake stood before me, I took a big sigh, just a relief of knowing that I'd arrived. It'd been a long day of hiking, hard hiking. And as I took that breath in, I heard something and I looked up, and right above my head was a bald eagle. And as I breathed in, the bald eagle flew from his perch and dropped right before me, wings spread in full span, and he flew right across the lake. Breathtaking, tears flowed. Patriots, this climb that we are on feels like that moment. Many are questioning this destiny. Many are wondering whether you have read the map right. You've read the map right. Because the map is God and He's within your heart. So when you get to those moments and you're wondering, am I here at the right place? Am I hearing God? Breathe in. Trust in Him. And as you do, all things will be okay. This is and remains one of the hardest hikes we could ever take. We are ascending the greatest mountain before us. And when we get to that point where we will be able to stand together, to raise our hands and celebrate and say, hey, praise the Lord, we will know. But until then, keep climbing. Keep listening. God's going to take you on a winding path sometimes, not because He's teaching you, sometimes maybe, but most importantly, because He needs you to do it. For whatever reason, trust in Him. And we will arrive where we need to arrive. The trials that are put before us are the trials that we need to grow. And the trials that we need to grow aren't just about us. It's about those around us and about the experience that we gain deep within our heart and our relationship to Him. And when we have that, we truly begin to understand the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You and are blessed with this time that we have each and every day to assemble, to pray, to reflect on Your word and Your grace. Lord, in this time, in this mountains that we climb, please guide us. Give us the confidence to know that we've followed the right map. And in those moments when we hesitate and we doubt, we begin to question perhaps if we're on the right path. Lord, give us those signs, those markers that tell us You're good, You're fine, that we're with You. In this time, Lord, we are all being stretched. We are all being remade. We are all being reforged in the fires that only You can give, to give life back in a way that only You can provide. And so, Lord, as we face this enemy, an enemy that is built on deceit, an enemy that revels in lies and pain, let us stand boldly with a smile and the light in our heart to know that there is nothing that they can do. No weapon can be forged against us. And we must stand now like never before. And we must stand with the love in our heart and extending that hand that shares the agape love of all, to give us the confidence of knowing that through the power of love and the grace that You give us, that is the greatest weapon in this war. To have us understand deep within our soul, deep within our hearts, deep within everything that we speak, that everything that we do right now shapes the world in which we live. And that power of love and grace in which we put in, Lord, that love and grace which we put into this world truly changes the state of the world. Let us stand together every breath that we take. Let us pray together in all our prayers we make. Let us find that unison of the love of you, the glory of that you bring into this world, and the humbleness to say, heal this land, Lord, forgive us for our sins. And in so doing, Lord, let us stand with greater strength and might than the world has ever witnessed. Let your remnant be known. And let the foundations of evil shake. For we are fearlessly holding this line, and we will never give. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. An amazing time in which we live, an amazing period of time in which we are blessed to be here working together, raising up each other and raising more people within the army of the remnant. Let us go forward each and every day. Let us stand boldly in the face of this evil, and let us never, ever give in to this deceit. Justice is what we seek, and in the end, justice will be given, for it will be given by God's hand. And it will be given by God's grace and God's guidance on how we do that. All will be held accountable in the end. All. No matter what station in life you have, no matter what little corner of whispers you're doing that you think you can get away with something or other or be forgotten simply because it wasn't me, I didn't know what I was doing, I just doing my job. Those things will no longer hold in the world that we are building. All will be accountable in the end. And the grace that's given will be that of God, and through the God, he will guide us. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into this fight. This is a glorious time to live. This is a glorious time to pray. This is a glorious time to stand in the name of the Holy Spirit. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. Have a blessed morning, Patriots. Have a blessed day. I'll be back at the top of the hour, 10 after actually, 10 minutes after the hour, for peace, for storm dispatch. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Getting past the what the